Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by A Wrestling Historian. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram for your latest dose of pro wrestling history. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram today. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram today.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling and the latest podcast. I'm your host, JP John Paz. With me today, very special guest, former WCW and WWF head writer, former WCW World Heavyweight Champion, Mr. Vince Russo. Vince, welcome back. How you doing?
Good morning, John. How you doing, my friend?
Doing good, doing good. Seems like the wrestling world, we were just kind of briefly talking about it, it just gets crazier and crazier. For some reason, Twitter has become, or X, whatever it's called, has become a nice, battleground, if you will, for WWF versus AEW. But there's really not a real competition, as Eric Bischoff likes to say. It's not really a head-to-head competition going on.
Yeah, I mean, it never was. You know, man, it's not. It will never be a competition until these two shows are head-to-head, and that will probably never happen. So you're comparing apples to oranges, bro. You know.
And Tony Khan went crazy on Twitter about Hook and Jinder Mahal, and everyone was saying that was going to lead to more ratings. That's what he was doing for attention for the show. The ratings went down, so it didn't work.
How would that possibly have led to more ratings? Like, these are AEW fans making up for Tony, who's making himself look stupid once again. So that's their logic. How would that possibly have helped ratings?
I have no idea. That's what they were claiming. That's why he does the way things he does. But I don't know. I don't know if that's the reasoning behind it or the rationale. I think he just likes to say stuff on Twitter.
Yeah, I do. I think he has, bro. He has very, 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 very thin skin. And if he has thin skin, bro, he is in the absolutely wrong business. And you can combine that with he needs attention. He seeks attention. So the combination of seeking attention, looking for attention, getting that attention, and then when there are negative comments, having thin skin, bro, this guy, the stress that this guy must be going through, you know, bro, this guy's only 40 something, but man, I could, you know, not knock on wood, I hope this doesn't happen. I could see this guy having a heart attack before he's 50, man. He's got to chill out, bro. He's got to just take a seat and observe from the background. And I'm just talking about his health mentally, physically. That has nothing to do with wrestling, bro. I'm talking about the dude's well-being. I've done that, bro. There's a reason that I only worked for the WWE for 5 years. There's a reason. And that reason is Vince McMahon burnt me out. After 5 years, bro, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, I was done. That's why I only wanted to sign a 2-year contract with WCW, because I needed to make a little bit more money. And if everything worked according to plan, I would have been done after the next 2 years.
Now, of course, you're right in the thick of things when we're talking about head-to-head, like when people were coming after, oh, Bischoff did this, and he challenged Vince McMahon to a pay-per-view. Bischoff gave away the spoilers to the shows. But that was head-to-head, direct competition. WCW was actually beating them, you know, obviously the 83 weeks of dominance, but like it's completely different than AEW today. And obviously you were right there in the thick of things with this competition.
Yeah, no, absolutely, bro. And I don't know, man. I see so much Dixie Carter in Tony Khan, man, because I did a whole live YouTube show yesterday. Bro, Tony Khan comes across as a good guy. And everybody I talk to in AEW, man, tells me he's a good guy. I believe, bro, people who think I hate Tony Khan are freaking clueless. They are out of their freaking mind. I don't hate Tony Khan at all. Tony Khan does appear to really be a good guy. Everything I hear about him, he's a good guy. And that's why there's a part of me, like when I work with Dixie, that actually I feel bad for him, bro, because he's swimming in a shark cage. He's in way over his head, very, very, very much like Dixie. Man, the only difference is Dixie kind of figured that out a little bit more early on. So she took more of a back seat. She wasn't front and center doing all the things that this guy is doing. But like I said, bro, like I'm really concerned for the guy's well-being, because, you know, he's just in a very, very, very stressful business and he doesn't seem to be handling it too well.
When you look at what's going on in the wrestling business today, I don't know, as far as people keep saying it's hotter than ever, right? Because WWE made more money, but that's just inflation and just the way they went about business. But there's no way it was hotter than the Attitude Era, just because there's so many eyeballs on the Attitude Era.
Bro, forget about hotter than ever. Okay. The ratings for the shows just came out for the end of 2023. Okay.
Yep.
WWE was down 8% and AEW was down 10%. That is a fact. Those are the factual numbers. So, you know, bro, we've said this a million times, bro, that's popularity. That is popularity. You 10% less people are watching your show, 8% less are watching the WWE. Your popularity has gone down. Now, when you're talking about business and dollars and cents and Saudi Arabia deals and inflation and ticket prices going up and all that shit, that's a totally different story, bro. Nobody is doubting that the WWE is making money hand over fist. Nobody is doubting that. But when your television audience is going down, that means your popularity is going down, bro. I'm not pulling stuff out of the sky and making numbers to try to have an anti-WWE case. I'm just looking at the real numbers at the end of 2023.
Now, as far as the Attitude Era is concerned, that would be our topic at hand today, which we're always talking about. Some of the good times, if you will. WWF Capital Carnage 1998, December 6th, London, England, from the London Arena, attendance over 10,400. Now, you are not there for this show. How come?
Bro, I never left the country outside of Canada. That's it. I didn't go. I never, you know, when I was active, after 2012, I've been to the UK a couple of times. I've been to Ireland. I've been to Germany, you know, a couple of times, but when I was actively working, I never ever left because I didn't want to, bro. I just didn't want to leave the country. You know, I always, you know, thought about my wife and my family and my kids, and God forbid something would have happened. So I was always able to get out of somehow, some way, those overseas tours.
Was Vince okay with that though?
I didn't go. He didn't fire me. So, I mean, I guess he was. Yeah.
How do they do creative, like when the head writer is not there? Is this just something where they just have everything printed out and you're giving them something? Are you on the phone with them? Or
I never on the phone with them, bro. Everything was, you know, written out and ready to go. It was really treated more or less like a standalone pay-per-view. It was really treated that way. It really didn't have, you know, all the bells and whistles that a pay-per-view in the States would have had. It was more of a wrestling event. But yeah, man, we would just write the show and send it over with them. And, you know, Bruce would probably run a lot more things. And, you know, that was it. But yeah, bro, I was not at this pay-per-view. And never. Bro, not only was I not at this pay-per-view, I could tell you right now, I've never seen this pay-per-view.
Wow, you're the head writer. You've never seen your work. Wow, weird.
Never seen it, bro.
Wow, why not?
Well, because, bro, you know, like I said, it's written more or less as a straightforward wrestling pay-per-view, and my focus is on television. So, you know, this really wasn't going to have any impact or anything to do what was going on with television other than keep the storylines running through. So it really wasn't important for me to watch.
So this show to me was pretty good, but it has two things that stand out above everything else. The first thing is Jim Ross suffers his second bout of Bell's palsy on air. Wow. Did you hear about this, or is everybody made aware of this or no?
I don't know, bro. Like, this is the first time I'm hearing this. I mean, I know he had a second bout of Bell's palsy. I did not realize it was on the air during a pay-per-view. I swear, bro, this is like the first time I'm even hearing this.
Yeah. Scary stuff for sure. I mean, just,
did he do the whole show?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. But that's pretty crazy, man.
Yeah. But yeah, but crazy that happened. Just
insane.
Poor JR. I mean, just nuts. But it's still going today. So, I mean, didn't hold him back. And he does end up returning for WrestleMania 15 for the main event, too. So it's one of those things where, man, scary, scary stuff is going on.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Absolutely.
Could be a lot of, like you said, stress related from Vince burning it out and overworking it.
Definitely be. Bro, I got to tell you, he probably... Man, when I was there, I would say JR probably had more stress than anybody else.
Really?
Absolutely. I think that's a fair statement to make. You know, bro, you know, the ratings were up. You know, so I never had any stress. You know what I'm saying, man? As long as the number were up, Vince was cool with me. Kevin Dunn wasn't going to have any stress. He had been there forever. You know, if anybody was ever going to have any stress, it would have probably been JR with, you know, signings and money and guaranteed contracts and injuries and stuff like that. He probably had more stress than anyone else.
Now, as far as this show is concerned, we'll get into the other, yeah, I guess we'll just mention now, but we'll get into it during the match. But Jacqueline has a wardrobe malfunction, if you will. Oh, that was the other big thing that came out of this one. Yeah. So that, but we'll talk about that when the match happens. But that was like the two big things that came out of the pay-per-view. Oddly enough, not like Steve Austin retains the title or wins his match or Rock retains the title. It was more about those two things, kind of, which is odd for the Attitude Era, like that Austin or The Rock wasn't like the focus.
Yeah. Like I said, man, this was much like, I hate to say it, but this was much like the shows that Tony Khan put on. You know, like I said, bro, we're in the UK, so we're not going to do anything that's really, really going to affect television. So you're just going to have long wrestling matches. I mean, that's really what this was.
And I noticed, too, because I went to a house show. Actually, it was a heat taping along with some dark matches around this time in December of 98. It had to go there. It was in Philly. It had to go there so you get the paper to order the WrestleMania tickets, which was in Philly for WrestleMania 15. Old school style. Like, you literally had to go to this show to get the tickets to pre-order. And we got the tickets so early and so well from going to the show, we ended up getting first row for WrestleMania.
Wow,
and
at that point, awesome. Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome. And at that point, it's $400 for front row tickets. Now, forget about it. $400 gets you crappy seats for WrestleMania. But that, so we had to do that. But I noticed a lot of the matches that were on that dark, you know, dark matches, they're happening on the shows. That's like a thing back then, right? I mean, you kind of work through your matches, right?
Absolutely, bro. That was kind of like a rehearsal, you know, where you were booked with the opponent that you were going to be wrestling with, you know, just to really, really, really get the match down. Absolutely.
And it was great, too, because not only did we secure those tickets for WrestleMania, we get the front row, but all this cool stuff. We also get to see Austin in this four-way match. And the best part was, and it's so funny because everyone's like, oh, was this match great? The memory me and my buddy have of this was Austin literally gives Vince a stunner. This is a dark match for after a heat taping. So like Vince is on it, which is amazing. Shane McMahon comes into the ring like 15 times. He drinks a beer. Austin pretends he's going to drink a beer with him. Stunner. He rolls out. Big Boss Man comes in. Stunner. Shane goes back in, tries to calm him down. Another. It just was so much fun. It was just hilarious. Man, the crowd was going nuts. It's one of those things where like Austin's feeding off the crowd. So you could just do one stunner and it's over. The crowd wasn't content with one. They wanted like 15. Shane goes back in. Stunner. Boss Man.
Bro,
stunner.
Stunner. I got to tell you, man, you know, I remember this vividly. Bro, the boys would love that time, you know, right after the show was over and we were off the air. They loved that time, bro, because they did whatever they wanted to do. They were feeding off the crowd. It was all creative. Nothing was scripted. They loved the time when the match was over and they were just playing for the house. They loved that stuff, bro.
To me nowadays, like you go to a show, you gotta get out of there. I want to beat the traffic. I want to whatever. Back then, even when Hogan was wrestling, I want to see him do the pose, whatever. Austin, you stay late. You want to see him drink. You want to see him stunner people and want to see what else he might do because he was there for the crowd. Like, I mean, everybody, they're packing up. The camera guy's leaving. I mean, he's hanging out with the crowd, drinking and doing stunners all night.
They love that stuff, bro. Absolutely. Yeah, it's like you said, you know, Chris, you're going to see, John, I'm sorry. You're going to see one of your favorite bands. You're not going to freaking leave to beat the crowd. I'm going to stay there till that last note is played, man. And, and that's the way it was. But those guys, you know, like, you know, from Taker to Rock to Austin, Mick, whoever was involved, they loved it when the cameras were off.
Are you guys still there? Like, not this show per se, but like other shows. Are you there all the way until the end? Or are you out of there? And Austin's Austin basically comes backstage. He's by himself.
Bro, I am there to the very end, shaking everybody's hand and thanking them, you know, thanking them for the show. Every single TV, that's what I'm doing.
Because I would imagine a lot of the wrestlers were gone, right? I mean, Austin's probably walking back. There's not a lot of wrestlers left.
Well, no, bro, back then, you did not leave till the show was over. Absolutely. Oh. No, absolutely. Bro, all that stuff happened. You know, really, like at TNA, forget it. But by the time I was at TNA, everybody was gone before the show was over. Back then, bro, nobody left until the show was over. Nobody.
When you're looking at the guys that like stay late or whatever, like the guys for the fans, it's always like, I don't know, to me, it's always like the biggest stars, you know, Austin Hogan, like those guys always are for the fans. Like, hey, you guys paid to be here. I'm going to give you, you know, the time of your life. Like this was 1998. Me and my buddy still remember like, oh, remember when he stunned Shane and Shane thought he was giving him the beer like, you know, after stunner, it just, yeah, you remember stuff like that. It's great. Great job by like the biggest stars ever.
Oh, absolutely, bro. I mean, no question about it, man. You know, they really appreciated, you know, their spot on the card, and they knew they were on the card because of they were in that spot because of the fans. They knew that, bro. They understood that.
Now this show's in the UK. You're not going to the UK. I mean, that doesn't really matter. It's just business when you're at home, just business as usual. You're just working on the next show.
Yeah.
This won't affect what you're doing going forward, basically.
No, not unless there's a serious injury or something like that. Outside of that, it's not going to affect anything I'm doing.
So let's start off just with the dark match. Draws defeats Mosh of the Headbangers in 6 minutes. And then we start the show. The first match is Gangrel versus Al Snow with Head. Gangrel gets the win in just about 6 minutes. The thing is here, Edge helps Gangrel. The brood is going on here. So Edge helps Gangrel and they And then he helps Gangrel win the match. Edge basically is he's just there at this point. I mean, there's he's getting a little bit of a push. You're giving him a little bit of time here, but basically it was kind of centered around Gangrel and your buddy Al Snow.
Yeah. Well, you know, bro, that's the thing. You know, like, come on, man. Al Snow with head. It wasn't important whether he won matches or not. You know, I mean, even if he lost to Gangrel, he's going to get over at the end of the match with head. And, you know, that's how we always looked at Al, man. He was just a, you know, he was so freaking entertaining, bro, that it really wasn't about one loss records with Al. It was just really about him going out and doing what he did. And the best thing he did was entertain the crowd.
I can't believe he's kayfabing you on all this OVW stuff. OVW is going national. They're signing Mickey James, and he's not even telling you.
Wait till I get him. Wait till I just had a show with him yesterday morning when that Mickey news broke, and he didn't tell me anything about it. He's done with me, bro.
Well, the thing is, too, with OVW, I mean, you got new investors, right? You've got Mick Foley showing up on the show. Now you never know who's going to show up. Now they signed Mickey James. It seems like they want to spend some money and really have this thing, you know, get launched off the ground after the Wrestlers documentary.
Yeah, and you know, that season two is going to be good. Is important. Yeah, I can't imagine them not renewing that show because now, and bro, maybe this is the way they're looking at it, and maybe this is part of it. You got Mickey James involved now. I mean, how do you not want to see that on the show? You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's a very good move. Even an investor coming in. These are all good moves for a Netflix to give the green light to season two. So I think they're having Mick there. You know, these are all things to get that season two. Bro, the only bad thing about this is they don't own the rights to that show.
Oh,
so they're getting paid to do that show, but they don't own that show. So the first season, bro, they did not get paid a lot of money. So, you know, Netflix and the production company who's producing it, bro, they're really in the driver's seat because, you know, they're gonna offer Al and OVW, you know, they're gonna offer them whatever they're gonna offer them. And bro, it could be peanuts because they're not in a position to say no or negotiate because they'll just go do it with another wrestling company. So that's the only thing, bro. It's like this thing, as great as it was, and it put OVW on the map, and you know, it was done beautifully. They really didn't make a lot of money from it. And like I said, bro, not owning the rights to it, man, I just hope they make some money from this.
Now, was it more about the exposure as far as doing the first season and not getting paid? Like, did they want, because it worked, obviously, the exposure, that did work. Was that the whole gist of it?
Well, obviously, bro, for that first season, you're not going to turn a deal down. I mean, if they're offering you to do this show, there are no negatives. You definitely, and bro, you know, that is what happened because, you know, since that show, like, they've sold out every show. Yep. So, you know, no, that's awesome, bro, and that worked, and they're making money that way. They're going to be making money off of merchandise. They'll make money that way. If they want to take this around, you know, the country and tour, they can make money that way. But the actual show itself is not going to make OVW a lot of money. They've got to take advantage of being on Netflix, and I think that's what they're banking on right now.
I was talking to somebody at OVW. They said they opened up Davis Arena a little bit so there's more seating, and it's still sold out. So that's a good sign. But you want to go tour, right? I mean, you don't want to just sit at Davis Arena all the time. You want to go outside and go national.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely, bro. Yeah. But that, yeah, I mean, it would be nice for them to get some guarantees off of the Netflix show where it's not just given season two the green light. We're going to do season two, three, and four. You know, I mean, that would be really, really, really nice. But they've done a really, really good job of taking advantage of the opportunity. You know, again, you know, compare that to AEW. Have they done a great job with getting TBS and TNT behind them? You know, not really. But, you know, again, bro, OVW is in this because they have to make money. And that's what they're trying to do. I just, you know, when you look at AEW, I just don't think Tony's trying to make money. I mean, that I think that's the difference between the two companies.
Would you ever want to be a writer for OVW? Like,
nah,
if Al said, nah, I need help with creative.
Bro, I'm only like, bro, I'm a consulting guy at this point in my career. And I'll be honest with you, John. Bro, I hear from, you know, wrestlers in the WWE who I've never worked with, who I've never met, DM me, and they shoot me stuff, and we talk creative, and I try to help them with ideas and characters, and I do all of that for free. I am definitely, bro, open to consulting for anybody. But at this point, bro, leaving my house and getting back in that grind, I don't see myself, John, ever in the rest of my life getting on a plane for pro wrestling. I don't ever see that happening. If God forbid, bro, something happened with my business and I had to, that would be a different story. But, you know, thankfully, bro, that hasn't been the case in the last 10 years.
And with Al kayfabing you all the time, there's no chance. He's got no shot now.
Yeah, all right. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yeah.
What's his problem? Jeez. Yeah. Come on, Al. Yeah. Next matchup, the Headbangers, Mosh and Thrasher. So Mosh is back out there defeating LOD of Animal and Draws in about 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Now, bro, you, I swear to God, this is the difference. This is the difference between the WWE, a major, major, the number one wrestling company in the world, and AEW. Bro, because they were going overseas and because it is so expensive to go overseas, what are they doing, bro? They're having Mosh work twice. That's why he's working twice, bro, yeah. Because they're saving on sending another talent over there because of the trans.
And so Draw's working twice, too, because he's part of LOD in this match.
You go. So that shows you right there that even back then in the height of the Attitude Era, you know, when it came down to business, they were still very, very conscious of the way they were spending money, which is great.
So Headbangers get the win here over LOD. It's Animal and Draws, but there's some dissension. Animal's kind of doing good one-on-two. Draws gets himself in the match. He screws it up. He ends up getting the pin via the schoolboy. So Mosh gets the win back for that dark match. Mosh pins Draws and gets the win here. Animal and Draws start brawling a little bit, and you know they have to be broken up from this fight and kind of go their separate ways. But basically, LOD loses thanks to Draws, and Draws takes the pinfall.
Yeah. Yeah, bro, you know, this whole LOD thing was it was just really tough with what was going on with Hawk. And, bro, like I said to you, and I was talking to Jay, I was talking about JR a couple of minutes ago. Bro, they knew more of what was going on than I did. You know what I mean? Like, bro, I would not have been aware of these specifics. You know what I'm saying? Like, if Hawk showed up to a house show, you know, on the influence of something or Hawk missed the flight to, you know, I would not be privy to any of these things. So while I'm writing this story, I know there's a problem and I know there's an issue and I know that I really can't get invested in this because there's some problems in the office. And bro, I'll be honest, John, like I would, these are why wrestling marks and even dirt sheet writers piss me off because like they have no idea what everybody's job is. You know what I'm saying, John? Like, John, I would never ask because it was none of my business. If Vince wanted to tell me or JR wanted to tell me, they would tell me. But I would never ask because that was not in my lane. You know what I'm saying? So like, whereas I know there are issues and problems, I don't know specifically what they are, but I also know this is a program that really is not going to go anywhere.
And it's just one of those things where, man, if Hawk can right the ship, I know that they're older now here in 98, but they're still Legion of Doom. They still get the big pops. They're still gods of wrestling. So, man, if they could just right the ship, it would have been great. But now they're just kind of being used to get other guys over.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, bro, 1,000%. 1,000%. And, you know, that's the thing, bro. When I was booking with Vince, like, I got to know Vince so well that – you know, while I'm pitching my show and my ideas to him and he's reacting, like, by his reaction, I know if there's a problem with something or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, bro, like I said, man, I was the biggest fan of Ken Shamrock. I would have loved to see Ken Shamrock in Austin and all that stuff. But, you know, while I'm writing and I'm pushing Shamrock and, you know, Vince is sitting there with me, you know, he would just say something like, you know, Vince, you know, don't concentrate too much, you know, don't concentrate too much of your time on Shamrock because we're currently negotiating or something like that. That's all he had to tell me, bro. And I never fought back or pushed back or anything like that because that was the business end of it. You know what I'm saying? All I'm concerned with is what am I doing with the players you give me? That's all I'm concerned with.
Next up, Val Venus defeats Goldust in 5 minutes and 30 seconds. After the match, Venus does kind of cheat to win, but after the match, Goldust gets some revenge, gives us a nice little Shattered Dreams to get some heat back, but really to kind of just like pop the audience after Venus just cheated to beat him. What do you think about Venus and Goldust here at this point in 98?
Oh God. How long has Val Venus been on the scene now?
Quite a while, bunch of months now. Yeah.
What character is Dustin in at this time? The original Goldust?
Yeah. He's doing the Goldust. Yep.
But it's probably watered down a little bit. Is he still with Marlena or are they separated?
No, separate. He's Bayface. He kind of is like finding himself again as Goldust, like that kind of thing. Like he was Goldust. He lost a while and he became Dustin. Then he's back to Goldust, kind of trying to find himself again.
Bro, the great thing about this is when you have established characters, they are draws. You know what I'm saying? So like that crowd in the UK, you know, they want to see Val Venus and they want to see Goldust, even if they're not at the top of the card at the time, even if they're mid-carders, you know, when you have characters that are over, you have fans that are going to want to see them, especially in the UK, because they don't get many shows there. You know, I swear, bro, it's so funny because when I'm watching the WWE and, you know, guys come on my screen like Cody Rhodes and LA Knight and people like this, bro, I'm always Seth Rollins. Perfect. Those three are perfect examples. Okay. So take LA Knight, Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Every time they come on my television screen, I am asking myself this question. Why do I like them? Why am I a fan of theirs? Why do I want them to go over? And the reason why I'm asking that question, bro, is there's no emotional tie. There is no emotional tie to me and any of those three wrestlers because there's no dimensions to those three wrestlers. All three of those wrestlers are wrestlers. That's what they are. And, you know, here's the biggest part of their character. Cody's song, Seth's song, and LA Knight's catchphrase. Like that basically is the meat of what we have to determine whether or not we are going to cheer for them. And that's my problem with wrestling today, bro, as all these wrestlers come on my screen, I ask the question, why am I a fan of his? Why, you know, give me one reason why I like this guy. And it just gets harder and harder to answer every week, bro.
As far as the current crop, I don't know about it, you know, equaling the guys of the Attitude. Like you said, like Val Venus and Goldust, when you think of Attitude Era, people, you know, they think of those guys. They love those guys. They love those characters. They love those era. They get so into them. I mean, they were getting huge pops back in the day. I mean, whew, talking about popularity of guys on the mid-card or upper mid-card, right. Those guys are, they're kind of, yeah, I mean, huge stars back in the day.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely, yeah.
Maybe a guy that's not so much for huge stars back in the day, Tiger Ali Singh, is up next. He defeats Edge. He cheats. He defeats Edge in 3 minutes. Edge does get some measure of vent after the match and beats up Singh. But what's up with Tiger Ali Singh or beating Edge in 3 minutes?
Bro, that's all office. They've got to deal with the old man, and either they're trying to get over in India. That's what that is all about, 1,000%. And bro, at the end of the day, whether it was Vince or JR, I'm sure it was Vince. They couldn't get along with the old man. And unfortunately, Tiger Ali Singh, who had a lot of talent, looked like a star, was a big guy, had charisma. The fact that Vince could not get along with his old man, that's where everything fell apart. But this was 100%. Either they were trying to get in that market, either the old man was telling them, you know, I could pull strings over here, this, that, or the other thing. That was like 1,000% political.
To me, it's funny. Years later, I understand, like, okay, Tiger Jeet Singh was a huge star, gigantic star in Japan, very big international star. But then in the States, you're like, yeah, I don't know if he holds much water. Like, and then you see Tiger Ali Singh, they're trying to piggyback over Tiger Jeet Singh. And you're like, I don't know if this is quite working because, like, do they really have the cachet in the USA? But like you said, they're definitely trying to go after some international business with them.
Yep. That's what it was all about. And bro, Tiger Ali Singh did have charisma, man. He was a good bro, very much like a Jinder Mahal. I mean, very, very much, you know, this guy, you know, looked like a wrestler and he could speak very well. And he was very good looking and articulate and coming out in the suits. You know, I mean, he had it all. And bro, honestly, it's really unfortunate for him that his old man kind of got in the way and it really wind up hurting him.
So I have to mention this, maybe another big thing that came out of the show. Vince McMahon had a speech at Oxford of all places. Do you remember that? Well, did you ever hear about this?
I think I do, bro. Wow. That's huge. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool. He gets the old speech at Oxford. They also announced that since Big Boss Man is going to be the special guest enforcer for the main event, and they're going to put Gerald Briscoe as a special guest referee, then the actor and famous Vinnie Jones will now be added to the fray as the special guest ring enforcer. Do you remember Vinnie Jones?
Who I have no idea who Vinnie Jones is, bro.
He's a famous British actor. He's been
in. Is he really?
I'm trying to think what movies he's been in.
Wow.
He was a footballer, if you will, as well. But he was a Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Gone in 60 Seconds. He was in.
It wasn't a Black Belt Jones, was it?
No.
I don't know who that is, bro. I don't know who that is. Oh, bro, what were you telling me to watch?
Murder at the End of the World. I didn't like to finish, but it's a good show. But yeah,
bro, I'll tell you what I did watch though, bro. I had not watched any of these, bro. Did you watch Denzel as the Equalizer?
No, never seen it. Nope.
Oh my, watch that, bro. Do you like? Are you a John Wick guy?
Yes, good. Watch
the Equalizer, bro. Like I just found out about. He's got. There's three Equalizers. I just found out about it, bro. Watch those.
I love those type of movies. Yeah.
Oh, Denzel is like, oh my God, bro. You'll love it. You'll love it, bro.
Phenomenal. Great actor. Great actor.
Oh yeah. God, forget about it, bro. Forget it. Yeah.
I actually shockingly just watched True Romance for the first time with Christian Slater. What a movie. Oh my God.
That's an oldie but goodie.
Yeah. James Gandolfini, didn't realize he's in it. He's like a bit character. So like you look at the cast, might be like the best cast ever. Brad Pitt is like a nothing in that, but he's in it. It's crazy. Gandolfini, Christopher Walken, Dennis Hopper, Christian Slater, Rosanna Arquette. What a cast. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. That's a great movie. Yeah. Yeah.
Just throw this out there as well. Why is there a change in the main event or double or co-main event, if you will? It was originally slated to be The Rock versus Triple H, and they say it's going to be switched. Triple H is going to fight Jeff Jarrett and The Rock versus X-Pac for the WWF Championship. Do you remember why they made a change here?
Tell me what it was again. Tell me that again.
So it's The Rock versus X-Pac, but originally it was supposed to be The Rock versus Triple H.
So Triple H is not working?
He's wrestling Jeff Jarrett instead.
Well, I don't know, bro, because immediately I would say somebody was hurt. You know what I'm saying? That's what I would say. Immediately somebody was hurt. But if they're just working somebody else, then it's not an injury. I don't know, bro. I don't know. I have no idea why they would switch that up.
And The Rock and Triple H worked all summer against each other, so it kind of made sense that they would continue the feud here. But for some reason, it's X-Pac taking his spot.
Yeah, I don't know, bro, because it's like, bro, like one thing about the boys is very rarely would they let heat get in the way of business. You know what I'm saying, bro? If there was heat backstage or they were mad at each other for something, those guys in particular would never get in the way of business. So I can't see anybody saying, you know, that there's a problem between The Rock and Triple H and Triple H don't want to work with them. I don't see that happening because that's not how they were. So I don't know, bro. That's real, real interesting, man. Somebody needs to ask JR that question because I don't know. I don't know.
Next up, and here's what we were talking about before with Jacqueline, Christian and Sable defeated Jacqueline and Mark Mero in a mixed tag team match, and they get the win in about 5 minutes. The big thing here is TKO by Sable gets the win. Jackie, after the match, is so mad that she lost. He goes to beat up Tim White, goes to beat up the referee. Jacqueline is now kind of on Tim White's shoulders, like trying to fight. And of course, Sable just rips off her clothes and she's topless. Then she jumps down and everyone can see everything. She covers herself up and then runs to the back.
Oh my God. Bro.
Not edited out in the USA, by the way.
I definitely have never, ever seen that. Bro, listen, man. This is where, like, you know, where people want it, you know, if they want to get you. Bro, when I worked with the females that I worked with, bro, I'm not going to say a lot of them. I'm going to say all of them were very, very proud of their bodies. And, bro, I got to tell you, man, the discipline these women had with not only finding the gym to work out in, but, you know, bro, the diet on the road, they were so disciplined and took such proper care of their bodies, you know, that when they went out there, they wanted people to notice that they had a physique just like the guys do. So, like, when something like this happens, it's like, I know in my mind, Jacqueline has no problem with this. Bro, Sable had no problem with the handprints. Like, bro, these were athletes, bro, that spent so much time working on their bodies that, you know, it was no different than, you know, the Ultimate Warrior going out there and people saying, holy shit. So that's why when I hear that spot and who knows how it was presented to Jackie, who knows if Jackie herself, you know, brought it up, but it doesn't surprise me at all. Jackie had an unbelievable body. And bro, not only that, like Jackie would kick your ass. Like Jackie was the real deal, bro.
Now, this is definitely planned out. This is not an accident, right? I mean, did you write that? Who wrote that in?
No, I have no idea, bro. I wasn't there, so I have no idea how that came about.
It's one of those things where you read online like, oh, it was an accident. Clearly it was not an accident. And obviously it was on purpose. Fit in perfectly with the Attitude Era, though. Like
absolutely.
The Shock TV, if you will.
Yeah.
And this is an English pay-per-view. You could probably maybe get away with a little bit more.
Probably. I would think that's the case. Yeah.
So then the next matchup, Ken Shamrock, who's the Intercontinental Champion with the Big Boss Man, defeated Steve Blackman by submission in about 7 minutes. Boss Man does help Shamrock a bit here. They're both part of the corporation here. So a little bit of a heel cheating here to go over Blackman. Do you see anything like out of Blackman that would say like, oh, maybe he could have been Intercontinental Champion, or maybe he should beat Shamrock, or no, like that's exactly how it could go down. Just keep the title on Shamrock and keep moving him forward as a heel.
You know, bro, again, man, you know, like we all, you know, bro, we all have gifts and we all have weaknesses, bro. You know, there's no doubt about that. And that's the deal, bro. It's like, you know, see, bro, like I always look at this as like a three-headed monster, because all at the same time, we had Shamrock, we had Blackman, and we had Dan Severn. Okay, we had all three of those guys at the same time that were very, very similar. Okay, why Shamrock ran away from the pack was he had the other half of it, bro. You could give Shamrock a microphone, and Shamrock was tremendous on the mic. The other two weren't. It's that simple. So when you have all three of these guys on a card at the same time, Shamrock is just going to be head and shoulders above them because he's got the mic skills and the other two just don't.
And the charisma off the charts, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Bro, I say to this day, man, and I mean this, bro, Ken Shamrock was the most believable wrestler I ever saw in my life. Where when I watched him, I believed everything was real. More than anybody else I ever worked with.
I believe it, because damn it, it was sometimes. Yeah,
the intensity, bro, that intensity level. Nobody had that, bro. I mean, he was phenomenal, man.
Oh, yeah, he was definitely a one-of-a-kind guy. Now, the next matchup, Triple H with Chyna defeated Jeff Jarrett with Debra in 7 minutes. Debra tries to cheat for Jarrett here. Chyna is cheating for Triple H. Basically, Jarrett tries to use a chair. Chyna takes the chair away. He turns around, and boom, he's getting a pedigree and the loss. So Triple H does go over in 7 minutes over Jarrett here. Just weird he didn't get the main event against The Rock.
Triple H.
Yeah, yep.
And that went to X-Pac.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know, bro, unless it, bro, it could have been an injury thing, because I could see if Triple H is a little bit injured. Okay. First of all, they know one thing. They're not going to be able to deliver the main event they want. Okay. If Triple H is supposed to wrestle Rock and Triple H is favoring an injury or something, they're not going to get the main event they want. Number two, working with Jeff Jarrett compared to The Rock, Jeff Jarrett, no doubt about it, much more of a seasoned veteran than The Rock. He's going to protect Triple H more. Plus, bro, you've got the women. So that's going to protect Triple H more, that Chyna is going to get involved in. You know, there's a little bit more bells and whistles. So if I had to guess, bro, I would say that Triple H was not at 100%, and that's why they made the switch.
Next match up, you have the New Age Outlaws, Billy Gunn and Road Dogg, defending their tag team championship against D'Lo Brown and Mark Henry. The Outlaws get the win in 12 minutes and 30 seconds. Nothing great, nothing really to write home about here. Kind of a little bit of a screw-up, I guess you could say, in the finish with Billy Gunn. Kind of going for a weird kind of pal driver move, but he does pin D'Lo Brown, and the Outlaws get the win. Maybe a bit predictable here that they're getting the win over the Nation.
Yeah, I would think so. Bro, what do you think about a Road Dogg stating that he's a better sports entertainer than MJF?
I don't know. He cracks me up sometimes because he said that he was better than Bret Hart. So, like, immediately I'm like, oh, my God.
Sports entertainer or all around?
I don't know. See, that I got to go back and listen. I thought he was saying all around, and I was going to say, are you kidding? Are you kidding?
I can't see him saying
he's probably meant sports entertainer, because he admitted he's not as good of a wrestler as MJF. So, obviously, yeah. Bret is a million times better than MJF. So, I guess by by default. Yeah. But yeah. I don't know. The Bret Hart thing just kind of threw me for a loop. It's like, oh, it's one of the biggest stars of all time. And I like,
but bro, he was a great sports entertainer, yeah. bro. Like anybody who doubts that are out of their mind. All that stuff, bro, all those promos, everything he said, that was all him, bro. He was a great sports entertainer.
I tend to give the Attitude Era and guys of that age like the one up over the guys of today. Well, just because like I can really remember everything Road Dogg said. Oh, you didn't know your ass, but call somebody. Like, everybody knows that. Oh, it's Road Dogg. Oh, Billy Gunn. Like, so can I remember anything that MJF says? Maybe just that thing, I'm better than you, but he took that from CM Punk. So it's like, I like, maybe Road Dogg, just because I can remember everything he said. You know what I mean? I remember him vividly.
You want to see how great the Road Dogg really was, bro. And nobody ever talks about this, but I remember, bro, I was there and it would pop me every single freaking night. Go back and watch when he was Jeff Jarrett's roadie. And he didn't speak. He didn't speak, bro. So everything was all facial and action of what he did and everything. You go back. He was like a mime almost, bro. You go back and watch him as the roadie and then tell me the dude wasn't a great sports entertainer. He was like, remember who was mimicking the Miz?
Oh, Damian Sandow.
It was like that, bro. Like where Sandow didn't say a word and he was stealing the show. Bro, Road Dogg stole the show as the roadie, bro.
He's awesome. I love the Road Dogg just for the fact that, you know, like even his punches, like, you know, there's something about, like, you know, a guy throws a punch, you don't really get into it. Before he does that weird thing with his show. I mean, you kind of do get into his stuff a lot more.
Even though
not necessarily great in the ring, like Brad, his brother, but he had something. He definitely had charisma out the yin yang, and bigger dude than you would expect too.
Oh, very big dude. Yes, absolutely. Yep.
So I don't know. I might have to take him over MJF right now. Maybe at the end of his career, MJF can prove me wrong. But right now, I might have to agree with Road Dogg.
Yeah. I don't, bro. It's tough because I don't watch AEW. Therefore, I really can't comment on it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm never going to take anything away from him as a sports entertainer.
So as far as the co-main event is the current WWF Championship match, The Rock defending the title against X-Pac with China and with Triple H. The Rock ends up getting the win via disqualification in 12 minutes and 30 seconds because of DX interfering. Shamrock and the corporation, they're trying to interfere, but the referee basically is seeing too much of the DX interference, and The Rock gets the win. How come The Rock isn't just going over X-Pac here 1-2-3?
Yeah, I don't know, man, because again, guys, I know I'm saying a lot of I don't knows for this show because I wasn't there. And the fact that this was a straightforward, really wrestling show, they're making decisions the day of. You know, I mean, I might have booked this and laid out all the matches and stuff like that, but you know, they could be over there changing stuff at the last minute, and I have no idea what's going on because it's really not important or pertinent to what I'm doing.
Hey, it's very interesting because The Rock is kind of in the middle of a feud with Mankind, so to speak, as far as TV is concerned, and then he doesn't get the win over X-Pac here. To me, I would have just had him go over X-Pac because, you know, you're not really hurting anybody. It wouldn't hurt him to take the loss, and it wouldn't hurt The Rock just to get a win here, but he only wins by DQ.
Yeah, I have no idea, bro. I wish I could answer that.
Weird booking, I would say, on that one.
Yeah.
So then we have the main event of the evening, a fatal four-way with Gerald Briscoe as the special referee. Like I said, Big Boss Man is supposed to be the special guest enforcer, but like I said, the actor Vinnie Jones is going to, you know, get involved and be a part of this match. So it's Stone Cold versus Kane versus Mankind versus The Undertaker, who has Paul Bearer on his side again as The Undertaker is full-fledged heel again. Steve Austin gets the win, pinning Kane with the stunner in this four-way. The match goes 16 minutes. Pretty good match. To me, probably the best match of the night, maybe the most fun match of the night. But there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of interference, a lot of Gerald Briscoe getting beat up. Pat Patterson's even out there as a special guest timekeeper. Shane McMahon's out there as the ring announcer. A lot of stuff going on, maybe too much stuff going on right now, but Austin does get the win.
Yeah, that's what you would call, you know, Pat Patterson gaga, you know, just the gaga. And again, bro, you're going to get this because this is a straightforward wrestling show. That's what this is. This is a pay-per-view where we're highlighting the wrestling and not really telling too much story. So, yeah, bro, you're going to get a lot of run-ins and, you know, DQs and all that kind of stuff. That does not surprise me at all.
With this, it is fun. It is, but it is a lot going on as far as just like you got Austin, you got Kane, Mankind, Boss Man, Undertaker, Paul Bearer, Shane McMahon, Pat Briscoe, Pat Patterson, Jerry Briscoe. A lot of guys out there. It just seems like you said, there's almost too much going on.
Yeah. No, it's probably overbooked, bro. But again, you got to understand they're in the UK. I don't know when we're going back to the UK. So the thought is to give them everything. And if you overbook and give them too much, it's okay. You want everybody to go home happy because you don't know when you're going to go back there next. And when you do go back there next, you want them to remember this show. So that's why the day of, it's probably getting overbooked a little bit.
And I forgot to mention, of course, Vinnie Jones is back out there again, and Earl Hebner is getting involved physically. So it's quite a cluster going on for the main event. But the crowd loves it, and it's a lot of fun. And, of course, Austin gets the win. That's the most important part, right? The go-home happy?
Yeah, absolutely, 1,000%, yes.
That's kind of like the ideal thing, right? I mean, to have the big baby face go home happy.
That's the problem. That's one of the main problems with the WWE today. And like I said, bro, I've come to the concrete conclusion. At this point, the WWE are just content providers. They don't care about ratings. They don't care about numbers. They care about creating content. That is one of the reasons, bro, why they are looking to go on these streaming services, because if they go on a streaming service, ratings go away. There's no more conversations about ratings. I said years ago, the day is going to come when you're going to be paying to see Raw. I said that years ago. And that is the problem today, bro, because now since they are just content creators, we're just watching house shows on TV. That's all we're seeing. These are house shows. These are not stories. These are not characters. These are, you know, the baby face up at the end. Everybody goes home happy. And, you know, there's no cliffhanger. There's no reason to watch the following week. And it's just basically because I believe at this point they are just content creators.
And is that okay for this show here, like as far as Capital Carnage? Because it's just a UK pay-per-view.
Oh, absolutely.
It's okay to do a show like that.
Bro, if this show is in the States, I'm there. Storylines are continuing. You know, but this is really a standalone wrestling show because it was in the UK.
Is this show just like one of those things where it's just a fun show? That's all it needs to be because you got rock bottom coming up and that's really the focus. This just needs to be a fun show.
1,000%. Bro, if Vince needed me there, I would have been there. I did not need to be there for this show.
To me, good show, fun show. I know there's some mixed reviews about it online, but I liked it. It was fun. And anytime you get that kind of cluster at the end with Austin, I just think, I don't know, it's just fun. You know, I'm not expecting, what's going to happen with Vinnie Jones? Is he going to be a part of it? You know what I mean? Like, it's
just
fun. And just like looking at it overall, you wouldn't really rate the show. You just say, you know, thumbs up as far as just looking at it, for what it was.
Bro, from what you're describing, if the people went home happy, I think it was a success. Because that was the intention going in.
And just to kind of put a button on the Tiger Ali Singh little thing there with Jinder, how you mentioned before, I just think it's funny that Jinder now kind of got more popular after all this stuff going on. Former WWF champion kind of deserves some accolades instead of people dragging him down.
See, this is how I do things, bro, which will never, ever happen in 2024. Bro, if you notice, we've seen Jinder the first of all, let me just say, I'm a big fan of Jinder. Always have been. Bro, when they put the belt on him, he did everything right. He did not drop the ball. He did everything right. Whatever political reasons the belt was taken off, I don't know. I don't work there. But to me, bro, if you notice, the last 2 weeks, we've just seen Jinder by himself. We have not seen those other two dudes. What are they being called?
Indashir.
Bro, if I'm right, if I'm writing this show, Indashir is showing up and they are screwing Rollins and Jinder is going over. That's what I'm doing. That's Whoa. What I'm doing. If I, especially with everything that's happened like in the past week, because it makes sense, bro. They set the table to do it by not seeing Indashir the last 2 weeks. If all of a sudden these guys show up out of nowhere and now it's a 3-on-1, holy crap. Now, bro, if that doesn't work, you can easily put the belt back on Rollins or somebody else. But man, bro, like Seth Rollins does not need a belt at this point. He's got his song that everybody sings along to. But that's what I would do, bro. But never in a million years would they ever do that.
He's the hot hand right now, right? He's getting a lot of attention, Jinder.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Take advantage of it, bro. Yes. And everything I hear about that dude, John, like, he's like the greatest guy in the locker room, man. Like, he's like, everything I hear about him, man, he is a pro, a great guy. Everybody likes him. And, you know, that's just what I would do.
Hey, even The Rock said that he looked jacked. So I thought that was funny, right? He does look like $1 million, Jinder. If you know, when you look at him with his gear on, he looks like $1 million.
Bro, come on. When last week, when he's in there with the ring, when he's in there in the ring with Seth Rollins, if I am a casual fan, bro, and I'm just clicking along and I come on to this, I'm thinking Jinder Mahal would destroy Seth Rollins in a match. Just looking at the two of them in the ring, he looks great, bro. I know he probably got the tag of being injury prone. He was getting hurt a lot. I know that, but outside of that, bro, this dude is a bona fide star, man.
All right, let's wrap this bad boy up. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Vince, what do you got going on?
Yeah, I just want to tell everybody, man, if you've never been a subscriber to our Patreon, you can go there right now and sign up for a free week of Russo's brand. Just go to patreon.com/RussoTWC.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.